Those two young police officers who were murdered execution style, and that's the way you have to describe it, didn't stand a chance, according to Queensland Police Commissioner Katerina Carroll. She said she's paid tribute to Matthew Arnold, 26, Rachel McCrow, 29. What got me about this yesterday was that the four police walked down the driveway of this property, not knowing what they were going to encounter. They get fired upon, and then someone emerges and puts a gun to the two officers' heads and finishes them off and takes their Glock pistols. That sounds like, to me, something that would happen in the United States, perhaps, but not here. Not here, surely. Ian Leavers is the Queensland Police Union President. Ian, I'm so sorry for the loss of the police service in Queensland. It's just heartbreaking, mate.
Absolutely it is. And they were both two very young people who tragically their lives have been taken away. And I'll say this, they're both in their 20s. They haven't even lived life. And you're exactly right in what you said. They were executed by these ruthless, murderous, evil cowards who had no compassion for any person. And as well as the civilian who went to investigate, when they lit the grass fire with the policewoman Keeley, who retreated because they were trying to flush her out so they could shoot her and take her life as well. These are the sort of cowards that we were dealing with. And let's say this, that we tried to resolve the matter peacefully with our special operations group. They're unable to do that. But I'll say now that these three murderous, evil people will never go on to commit another crime again. It's just, as you said, this is what we hear in the United States. This is not Queensland. This is not Australia. And we are just lost for words at this point in time.
Yes, I don't think anyone would be crying any tears over the loss of those three. They are cowards, as you described them. They're murderous cowards. They're terrorists almost. And they were completely, it would seem, out of control. The point I want to make here, Ian, we're on air nationally. Every police officer in Australia today and yesterday and last night who put on the uniform, doesn't matter if they're in Victoria or New South Wales or Queensland, wherever they are, they would in their mind, and your experience would tell you this, they would think, am I going to be the next Matthew Arnold and Rachel McCrow to have someone kill me?
You're absolutely right. And whenever we go to calls for service, we know it could be us. It's just that is how it is in policing. And you're exactly right. Whether you're in Cairns or you're in Broome or down in Hobart, we all wear the blue shirt, and I'll even go as far to New Zealand. We're very close. That is the real risk we take, and it's very unpredictable, and you know that that very well could be me. And what I do know, that is in the thoughts of our loved ones, and they're the ones who really suffer in silence, and that's where we've got to get back to and try and, you know, realise the things that are really important in life. And I know as a result of what occurred earlier this week, for all those loved ones who've lost someone tragically across Australia and New Zealand, it brings back those memories. And I've had messages from widows who've lost partners 20 to 30 to 40 years ago and parents. It is as raw today as what it was 30 to 40 years ago. So the ripple effect right around the country is incredible. The only positive I've seen is the outpouring of emotion by the community. I've just been to Tara this morning. I'm back in Chinchilla, and a steady flow of members of the public from all walks of life are coming up, putting flowers at the police station, writing cards. And I read some of the cards at Tara this morning. It actually brings a tear to your eye when you see little kids writing cards, the school kids writing cards, and just people in the community showing their support for police. And I've mentioned, look, if you see a police officer anywhere in Australia, say good day and say thank you for your service, because that means a lot. And that's what keeps us going, and we'll continue to do our job, and we will do whatever we can to lock up these criminals and cowards to keep the community safe. And we're going to continue to do that with the community support. We'll rise above that, and that's what we're going to do.
Took me back. I must say I was on air in Victoria when the Wall Street murders happened. Two young police officers ambushed in a street in a ritzy suburb of South Yarra and shot dead by criminals. And then I was also on air when the Silk Miller murders took place. Murdering police is just, it strikes at the core of our community, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. And what resonated with me, and back to Tynan and Eyre in Melbourne, I started in the police in the late 80s. And whenever I went to a located stolen vehicle in an industrial area or a quiet area, That was in the back of my mind, and I was in Queensland, and that was always a fear, whether or not it was a setup by these people who are nothing but cowards, terrorists, organised criminals. That was always a risk that you faced, and you just never, ever knew, and that is always in the back of your mind. And that's something you've just got to live with and you be aware of and do your risk assessments. But as we know, as what happened earlier this week, the risk assessments those young police did, I would have done exactly the same. They've got under 2 years service. I've got over 30 years service. They did all they possibly could and probably did more than what others would have. And there are some things you just cannot plan for, and that's the risk that we face in policing. And sometimes we know that when we put on that shirt and walk out the door, we know there's a very chance that one of us may never come home.
The young policewoman 8 weeks out of the academy who escapes one way, goes into the bush, the other officer goes the other way, and gets shot and has a gunshot wound. When she's in the bush there, she is so terrified. She's on her phone, obviously communicating with back to the station in Tara, but then texts her family, basically saying, "Ian, I don't know that I'm ever going to see you again."
Absolutely. What she went through was absolutely horrifying. She was sending messages like, "I love you," and I believe those close to her. So that's a bit out of character in some ways.
Well, this is Keely Brough we're talking about. She's 28 and Randall Kirk is 27. That's the two survivors.
That's it. Randall hopefully gets out of hospital today. We've spent time with him yesterday. But Keely, it was just courageous what she did, communicating with police to get extra support. But when they lit the fire to try and get her out, she knew if she stood up, she was going to be shot. And in that area, when you light the fire, she didn't know whether she was going to be burnt alive. But also, it is a snake-infested area. There are brown snakes out there. By the intel I've got back when the fire started to light, that the snakes become alive. And she was at risk of that. The meat ants, it was a terrifying situation for her. I can only imagine what was going through her mind because they really wanted to kill and murder her. It's just not the Australian way, and it's absolutely unacceptable. And what I've seen of late is the community come out, and it's not just in Chinchilla, Dalwi, and Tara, it's across the country. People are appalled at this behaviour, and this is not the Australian way.
The police union just finally will now need to keep an eye clearly on Keely and Randall and the PTSD that they may suffer. Do you have the right things in place to help with that area?
Yes, we do, and that is something we advocate for now. And last year I had some legislation put through where presumptive legislation for police who suffer PTSD. But what we'll do is get on the front foot. We don't want it to get to that point, and we will encourage and support counselling. And we're in an era now where, thankfully, like when I joined the police, I'll be honest, mate, it's having a beer and doing a few other things was how you de-stress. But now we talk about living a healthy lifestyle and treating your mind, your psychological fitness and well-being is just as important as if you pull a hamstring and you get treatment. And we're normalising that now, and we encourage that, and we're going to continue to drive that message. And I actually say it's the strong thing to do is to go and seek support for your psychological well-being. And so that's exactly what we'll be doing. But also with all the other colleagues as well, they are really hurting. They are very emotional at this point in time. They are very fragile. And they are coming to terms, and they actually just sort of, like today, the realisation is coming through. It was like they were hoping it was a bad dream, but it is reality. It has happened. It's set in. So there's going to be a lot of people requiring support, and we're going to drive that and make sure it happens.
And ultimately, it's too early now, but ultimately we need to come up with some way to remember Matthew Arnold and Rachel McCrow, and I'm sure you'll be at the forefront of that, Ian. Thanks for your time today. Appreciate it, mate.
Thank you very much.
Good on you. Ian Levers there, Queensland Police Union President.
Thanks for listening to this Australia Today podcast. Join Steve Price and Natasha Belling live weekdays from 9 a.m. on the Listener app. Listener.